Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show. First of 590 fans. I'm sure this next guest has heard enough of that song. What does the fox say? This insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Luke Fox, NHL writer at Sportsnet. You love that song or what?
I see what you did there, Elis. I think it was about 2 years ago, I had a regular morning spot in Vancouver, and they played that song every single time I came on. Yeah.
You might be sick of it.
I've heard it before.
It's a weird one. Sorry to the listeners that had to listen to 20 seconds of that till we got to the Fox part, but it's fitting. So last night, the Maple Leafs, kind of in a bloodbath with the Boston Bruins, a lot of injuries. It was a hard-fought win. We'll give them that. How do you see those injuries, I guess, falling out? Anything concern you? Obviously, the Mrazek one seems a bit more serious, but where do we stand on after the next day here?
Yeah, there wasn't a ton of clarity. Where I stand is the Mrazek one's a big one, right? Mm. Like, especially when you look back at the trade deadline and they tried to get Harry Sateri for some goaltending depth, and he couldn't clear waivers, got scooped by Arizona. It's obvious that this is a concern of the organization. And so all of a sudden, Mrazek goes down with his third groin injury of the season. Like, this is getting to be a little too chronic. And you just wonder about the guy's career. Like, how many times can he keep coming back if he's going to re-injure his groin every time? And the sad part is he was just getting some traction. Sheldon Keefe was calling his last two starts the best two as a Leaf, and it would be hard to argue that. It seemed like he was finally finding his game, and then all of a sudden, bam, he's back on the shelf, and you don't think that one's going to be a quick one. So the good news is that Jack Campbell traveled with the team to Boston. He participated in the morning skate. He's ramping up. Keith says he's really close. It wouldn't shock me if he plays in Winnipeg, but maybe the safer bet is Saturday in Philadelphia. So at least the timing of Campbell coming back is a positive. But you just don't want to get into a situation where Campbell, knock on wood, gets hurt, because then all of a sudden your goaltending depth is severely exposed. As for the other guys, Ilya Lyubushkin and Justin Hall, both of them needed to be assessed further, so there wasn't too much clarity on their injuries. The good thing I'd say about Lyubushkin is I asked Morgan Riley about him, and he said that he saw him after the game, and he seemed fine. So that's a positive sign, but we'll see where this goes.
Yeah, listen, it's always a little uncomfortable when you read into trying to look at head injuries, but yeah, I thought that there was some pretty encouraging signs looking at the replays of those plays with those guys and thinking, okay, maybe it wasn't going to be as dramatic. You raise a great point about Jack Campbell that I don't think enough people are considering in the Mrazek thing is, okay, Shalgren has shown a little bit better than anyone would have ever anticipated. I like his composure. I like his demeanor. I think he's done what the Leafs have asked him to do. But you saw late in that game how in a pressure-packed moment against a good team, no one felt good. No one felt like, oh boy, this game's locked up. Don't worry about this. Jack has, like, his health is a major issue here, right? It's not just the play. It's also the health. And I am curious what the actual read is on he's working his way back. But this is not a traditional injury that I'm used to having a goalie have. The rate of re-injury or how they feel in terms of this just being completely behind him, I think the assumption is that he would be fully healthy, correct? And that the injury re-risk is pretty low with this kind of a rib scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. The Leafs are, extra cautious, right? Like, they're doing the same thing with Jake Muzzin. They're being extra cautious. They're doing the same thing with Andre Kasha right now. I think they realize the importance of having a healthy Jack Campbell for the playoffs. And because Shalvin kind of calmed the waters there for a little bit until Mrazek got his game together, it kind of afforded them the ability not to rush Jack back. So They've been slow and patient with this. The other dynamic, JD, though, is where's his head at? I mean, I think that's a bit of a concern too. So even if the rib's fine and he's perfectly healthy, you just got to make sure that this guy's dialed in and is kind of back to the Jack Campbell we saw before Christmas, because before the injury, it, you know, as you guys know, it was pretty erratic, and he's being really hard on himself. And so I think there's that element at play. I mean, this is a lot of pressure on this guy, and not only for the team and the fact that this is his first time being a number one from basically wire to wire and play and being part of a team in terms of 82 game schedule and being the man, but he has zero contract security after this. And it would just be human for those thoughts to be in his head, like, hey, if I don't perform well, what's that going to cost me? So it's high stakes for Jack Campbell. But the good news is, I think the Leafs have been defending in front of their goalies really well the last, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks. So hopefully they make it easier on Campbell when he comes back in terms of giving up less of those dangerous rush chances and having the opposition spend a whole bunch of time in their zone.
And you touch on kind of the defense core shoring up a lot. A lot of that has to do with their new acquisition of Giordano. And you wrote a great article about the hope that he brings to the Leafs and that poise and that expertise that's obviously already affecting his departure with Liljegren. What are you most impressed with about his couple games here in the blue and white and what he potentially can bring down the stretch here into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've watched this guy from afar, right? They see him on TV with the Flames and a little bit with the Kraken, and you know, he won the Norris, and he's always been a great story. But I've never, like, really watched shift after shift, and that's the privilege that you get of seeing the games live, right? You don't always have to be looking at the puck. You can zero in on a guy for a game and see what he does. And he's just never out of position. And if he does make a mistake, he recovers quickly. And his hockey sense and his smart decision-making and the fact that he doesn't pinch or take risks when he doesn't need to, the fact that he's made Timothy Liljegren look a lot better and sort of given him some confidence to take a few risks because he knows Giordano's back there, all these things that have been really remarkable. Like, one of the things he does, and I'm not comparing him to Nick Lidstrom, I mean, one of the best defensemen that ever lived, but one of the things Lidstrom would always do is on the dump-ins, he would just whack the puck out of midair, and there would be no cycle or time in their own zone because it never got to that point. And Giordano's done that a bunch of times where his stick is so good that the opposition doesn't get time to get set up. And then he gets it going the other way. And he's made some really, really smart zone exit passes. And you look at his stat sheet, you don't even see any points or anything, barely any shots. But just defensively, what he's done has really transformed the group, I think, and allowed Keith to have three pairs that he trusts. Before, it was, you know, a lot of one pair, two pairs, and then just cross your fingers and hope. There's more balance. And so the opposition is getting less times where they're having multiple shifts, you know, wearing them out in their own zone. And I think he's really kind of transformed it. And the basis of my article was kind of like, why should Leaf fans think that this year is going to be any different? Like, last year, the sell kind of was Canadian division, easy division. They rolled through the regular season. They got a really easy first round opponent. This could be the year. This is why it's different, even though it's the same group of players and same management and all that. This year, to me, the big sell would be the defense looks better. And this is without Jake Muzzin coming back, which he should be. And they actually have defensemen who prioritize defense. And I think Giordano is symbolic of that.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you just said. He has been a godsend. And you're just seeing right now, last night, right, with Fleury in Minnesota and with Giordano in Toronto, that This happens all the time, but it really is one of those rules of thumb. And it doesn't always work out this way, but when we're trying to evaluate bad players or good players in bad situations, it can be particularly difficult. Sometimes it backfires. Sometimes someone is too long in the tooth and the numbers were the numbers. But a lot of times you just need a fresh start around good players and a good team. And guess what? You can look a lot like your old self again. I've been shocked with how much I've loved Giordano and how much I feel like he really has transform this blue line, how much he's changed Timothy Liljegren, how much the balance feels real. And clearly you're not going to prioritize playing guys like Ilya Lyubushkin or Justin Hall or even Timothy Liljegren over James or Jake Muzzin. But last night, dude, I got to admit, even down to 4D, I kept thinking, where is Muzzin going to fit in? Because for the first time in a long time, this blue line feels full and it feels balanced. And I like all the pairings and the way that they've been looking. And so clearly health is a part of this. But I think long term, Muzzin's out. Like, I don't see a reason why this team would be bringing him back if Mark Giordano's willing to re-sign here on the cheap, which is like there are a lot of indications that he really wants to be here. His circle has put it out there. This guy wants to be here. I don't know where Muzzin fits in the immediate future, and I don't know when he fits in the long-term future.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and that'll be interesting for the offseason. But I think they, you know, if you have the aspirations that the Maple Leafs have, which is, and I know fans are like, all right, win one round. But this team has grander aspirations than that. And if you go on a deep run, I remember Kyle Dubas actually bringing this up once. He said, because he crunched the numbers, he said, basically, you lose a player a round. So the fact that, you know, Muzzin's not there right now and everything seems to fit, things change so fast. Like, when was the last, like, Jake Muzzin himself, the last two rounds, hasn't lasted to the end of the series. Like, there are defensemen that are going to go down. You need more than six guys. So and we just saw last night two guys went down. So and we don't really know when they're going to come back. So I think, you know, for the immediate future, I think Jake Muzzin could absolutely play an important role because you need the depth. We see that time and time again of teams that want to make a deep run. They lead on more than six defensemen. But big picture, I see where you're going. And I think this front office has not been afraid to make hard decisions. And when Jake Muzzin signed his extension, it did not include full no-move clause, no-trade clause, like complete protection. And that was to give management an out, whether it was the Seattle draft, they decided to protect him, but they didn't have to, or maybe a trade down the road, knowing that, okay, we're signing a guy who's had a lot of hard miles on him, playoff miles and regular season miles. He plays the kind of game that wears on the body. Maybe this contract's not going to look great in the last 2 years. So at least we have an out. And you look around, you see Travis Hamonic get traded, and he's not even, I would say, at the level of Jake Muzzin, and he still has value on the trade market. These GMs have proven that they're willing to pay for stay-at-home defensemen. So if, you know, big picture, they look at the end of the season and say, it's time to move on. I think there's a way to do it. I just think those are decisions for another day, and you need Jake Muzzin for this run.
Well, yeah, they're not trading him before the playoffs.
Well, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. We're going to be okay on that. No, it's true, man, and I think I'm just more optimistic at the fact that Muzzin used to feel like so important, right? When he got hurt in the last two playoffs, you felt like the Leafs were dead because he brought an element to their blue line that they just simply didn't have. And replacing his minutes was an impossibility. And now I look at it and go, this is a luxury. I don't know where he's going to fit in. He's clearly going to slot in because he's too good not to. But figuring out where his spot is on this blue line right now is a huge, huge benefit to this team. They don't desperately need Jake Muzzin to return. In years past, this would have been the biggest. This would have been right there with the goaltending. Is where is Muzzin right now in the injury? When is he going to be back? And it doesn't feel that way at all. It's a take your time situation. Go ahead. Make sure you're just ready for the playoffs. Make sure you're as healthy as possible. And you'll figure that out when you get there in terms of his value. So, no, I'm thrilled. It is a really, really good thing that we're going to have debates on who should come out to make room for a guy that at his best, could still be the least best defensive defenseman. I think that really bodes well for them. But yeah, in the offseason, he'll clearly still be able to be moved. I don't think that that's going to be a salary dump scenario, barring another bad injury. But yeah, I think the Leafs blue line is in a better space than it's ever been under Kyle Dubas. So last one from me anyway. It feels like the fourth line may have found a little something, and that little something may be just like addition by subtraction. Do you think Wayne Simmonds plays another game for the Maple Leafs, barring an injury?
Barring an injury. Yes. I had to say, I'd say yes, but it's getting interesting, right? Like, Nick Abbruzzese could play the next game. Like, the, you know, he... And there was some discussion whether, you know, they had all his paperwork settled and he might have even played last night. But he hadn't played since Harvard was eliminated on Thursday, so he felt a little bit rusty. But you got him coming in, and then as soon as Matt Nyes finishes his bid there in the Frozen Four for Minnesota, you know, I don't think anyone would be shocked if he signed his ELC and got a look. And there's more hype around him than Abbruzzese. And so this is a work in progress, this fourth line. And Blackwell is certainly, you know, getting his first goal last night. He had a really nice game. Simmonds' foot speed is a major question. But I just think that he's probably going to get in another look. You know, I don't think they're 100% sold that Kyle Clifford's the guy. So, but... Yeah, I think he plays another game, but this has got to be frustrating for the guy, especially when you consider that he signed a 2-year deal in the offseason, and this is a shock to the system. You know, when he got scratched on a back-to-back before Christmas, it was a game in Buffalo, he said that was the first time in his career. I mean, he's missed a lot of games due to injury, but that was the first time he's a healthy scratch, and it clearly ruffled him, you know, like that bothered him. And then I wonder if he would have been scratched sooner if he didn't have his 1,000th game coming up, then the 1,000th game ceremony, then the outdoor game. Like, I think the organization was cognizant of that and wanted him to have those moments. But then it was shortly after that he's been on the bench. So it's going to be interesting. Like, does he get in against Winnipeg? Because that could be a nasty game. Do they want him in that one? So,
yeah, but I didn't miss him in a nasty game against Boston.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, we found out what does the Fox say, that Wayne Simmonds will play again. Luke Fox, NHL writer, Sportsnet, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks.
All right, have a good show, guys. Thanks.
That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit donvalleynorthlexus.com.
It's always uncomfortable, but I think that if you even look at the amount of games that he played, that Luke just outlined the case, which was you wanted to make sure that you got him with 1,000. I'm glad the Maple Leafs did that, but you wanted to make sure that he was playing in that outdoor game because that is very special to a lot of players. We've seen that time and time again, okay? It might feel like a gimmick to a lot of people. To players, they love it, especially for a local guy like that. That's a very cool moment, but I think that if Kyle Clifford can step in and the line looks better, that it's sort of the bar for knowing that your career might be over. I will always be rooting for Wayne Simmonds, but I don't see what the justification is other than sentimentality that you're putting him back onto the roster right now. Like Luke just said it, the case is that a game is physical, it's rough and tumble, that you're worried about the way that a team pushes back against you, and you know you need that tough player that can get in the trenches and take the flippers off. If there's going to be a situation like yesterday where you need to have a scrap, didn't feel that way yesterday, didn't feel like that's the identity of the group, and feels like, again, something we talked about earlier, the Leafs looked mature yesterday. They did. They looked like a group that doesn't need a bodyguard. They look like a group that is ready to stick up for themselves and back it up with their play and turn the other cheek when the other team starts to lose their cool and still power through it. And so, yeah, it's one game, but I cannot stress this enough. That was one of the most impactful regular season games I can remember with this core in terms of the way that I just felt about them and the way that I perceived them. And it's not a Toronto Maple Leafs hype train thing. It's just genuinely like these guys are growing up. These guys are getting older. These guys have been through a lot now. There's a lot of experiences to lean on. And I thought you saw that yesterday.
I don't think it says great things about where Simmons is at that Kyle Clifford looked like an upgrade in that spot. Yep. And I think if I'm not a huge Kyle Clifford guy in general, in terms of, hey, does he have a role in this team? But we talk about the college kids coming in. We talk about, you know, they still haven't put Kasha on LTIR. It's still a shorter term thing. Is Simmons the 15th forward on the list? Like they're not going to
wave
him.
That's why I'm asking the question.
They wouldn't do that to him. Yeah. And I think he will. Because, like, I think out of respect for him, they would not want to ice him completely. But, and, like, they have three back-to-backs left, so maybe you could get someone else an off day or whatever. I don't know. But your time to see when Simmons may be running out.
All I know is that the Leafs don't have a ton of games left this season. They might have some back-to-backs, but they don't have a ton of games. And right now, you've seen four in a row since Giordano has arrived where the team has looked stout defensively, and now you've seen a couple of games in a row where the forward lines look like they have a little bit more balance. There is still some stuff that you want to be able to find out, but you want to have this team as fine-tuned as you possibly can heading into the playoffs because, one, you are the anti-LeBron teams where you can coast through a regular season. Like, you cannot have those moments of let-up because you've never proven that you can quote-unquote flip the switch. And two is that you're still collecting information on some of these lines, and you want to make sure that the depth is in order. That, to me, it is a priority looking at the college kid and seeing what he can provide over Wayne Simmons. It's a priority to see what Andre Kasha looks like rather than just having you wait to see if he can jump into a line last minute before the playoffs. Like, that's two guys that didn't play yesterday that are priorities ahead of what Wayne Simmons can do. So this isn't even like a, if it was just Kyle Clifford and Wayne Simmons, I would be saying, yeah, of course, Kyle Clifford, who just got sent down to the Marlies because he took a horrific penalty that killed them in his last game, he's not guaranteed a roster spot over Wayne Simmons, nor should he be. But when we're factoring in that there are two other guys in the equation and how bad that line has looked and the lack of production, I don't see it. I see a group that needs to be focused on the playoffs, not showing someone respect. They already did that by getting Wayne to 1,000.
So the Leafs have a home game tomorrow, and then I think it'll be telling who's on that four-game road trip with them because there is a back-to-back on that. And yeah, you can carry extra guys or whatever and manage around the cap, but I don't know that you're bringing 15 forwards on that trip, so that'll be interesting to see. And then once they're back off the road, Ailish.
Oh, yes. We can give away some more tickets here, folks. You want to see them when they come back from their road trip against the Buffalo Sabres. That's April 12th, home game. We're giving away a pair of tickets to see your Toronto Maple Leafs. All you have to do is download today and Thursday's episodes of the Fan Morning Show, wherever you get your podcast, and listen for the different code word that's placed in the podcast. Then you text each code word to 590-590 for your chance to win. The winner will be selected this Friday. So that's for the Leafs' April 12th home game against the Sabres. Listen for the code word, text it in, and we wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, these contest giveaways get a little tougher when the Leafs hit the road. So, like, we've already given away the tickets for tomorrow's home game, and now we're like, oh, yeah, 2 weeks from now, and the winner will be drawn Friday, and there will be a whole bunch of people competing for them. But, look, it's free
tickets. 16 games left. There's 16 games left, people. And this is what I'm saying about the stretch run here and fine-tuning the car, right? We talked about the way that Nick Nurse drives the Toronto Raptors car. We're going to find out a lot about how Sheldon Keefe drives the Leafs car down the stretch here and whether or not he's got it in a good spot heading into the postseason. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Oh, so close yesterday. So close. Yeah, I thought we had it. Ailish...
Oh, I was sweating my pick out, like literally pacing around my apartment, like, please Tampa win this one in overtime, and they did it.
Yeah, I thought we won the wake and rake yesterday. because you were so ecstatic that the your team covered. It was just that you pulled your version of Blake the Snake, which is you just were so high. Hey, listen.
But this has happened a couple times since Ailish came back. Ailish is about Ailish's numbers. She's not about the Wake and Ray hitting.
Guys, no, hey. It's not.
She's messaging me off to the side. Hey, no what's my chance. Percentage individually?
Yeah. No chance. This is garbage.
Hey, guess what? That was a return of, hey, maybe Ailish. You're like any pro athlete. You say you don't care about the numbers, but we all know that you do. And Blake the Snake is back, trapdoored us, and then immediately went to sewer you. I'll just be the only team player here in the Wake and Rake, you know, who just...
I don't even have one of my excuses tonight. There's no, yeah. oh, I yeah. got the early payout. There's no, yeah, oh, yeah. this other site doesn't count.
Oh, are you sure that this other book that you use doesn't count losses as wins?
Yeah, as wins,
yeah. They, that's what
Tell
it,
us
it
that book.
Free, it was a free bet, so free it didn't bet. Count. it doesn't count as a loss. Yeah. Let's just say, look, The trap door here, Sidney Crosby, the least clutch player in Canadian hockey history. I don't. he did not come through. He only scored one third period goal to try to save it for
Boo.
Us.
2-3, not good enough. Let's go 3-3. The Wake and Rake, our best bets for tomorrow. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Blake, JD, Ailish. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The code word for today's episode to text to 590-590 to qualify for your shot to win Leafs Sabres tickets on April 12th is Thompson.
Bros to rip on the Biebs.
Nah.
But as a day one believer, I would like to say that history has reflected kindly upon me. Oh, yes. Oh, how you forget the times where Justin Bieber had to do the roast of Justin Bieber to get the public sentiment back on his side as he was driving fast cars as a rich teenager. Oh, the horror. Or when he peed in a public space, which no man has ever done. Also the horror. Bieber was always fine. All right. Bieber was always crushing it.
He was. And you think I'm going to ever at any point turn my back on the most famous person from the region?
Yeah. Okay.
Come on.
Okay,
this is my guy. This is my kin. Purpose was at the top. Kin. Right near the top of the 2015 Best of Blake Murphy albums list.
I gotta need you to claim once, like you're man without country. Sometimes you're East Coaster.
Yeah, the region can't be every place, not Toronto, Mississauga.
Yeah, it's like exactly the Blake's region is literally anywhere.
Grows
like,
every day.
Yeah, is like anywhere outside of Toronto and east of.
I mean, primarily
anything with a non-416 phone number.
Yeah.
It's Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo.
It's like the region, Victoria. We did it. Like,
also, Newfoundland.
Yeah, Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo. But sometimes we expand it to Ayr or Paris or Stratford.
Yeah, exactly.
The worst I ever did was when Michael Mulder got signed by the Warriors. I was like, Windsor is the region now too. They're still a 519 number.
No, what I like is that you're going to make a pitch to write the Jamal Murray book someday to him being like, I'm from the region. And Carl English is going to be like, what the hell, buddy?
You wrote my book because you're newbie.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be what happens. Okay, so it is the Fan Morning Show. JD Buggus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar. Make sure that you follow on the socials for any extra tips, any extra picks, all those extra things. We're going to do the Wake and Rake in a second. But the reason why I played a Justin Bieber song coming in is because he played yesterday in Montreal. And this is what he had to say as he was on stage in a packed, I'm assuming, Bell Center in the home of the Montreal Canadiens. Vic, roll it.
How's that playoff spot looking for you guys as well? Well, it's all good. Maybe next year.
Yeah!
No, we're really strong.
Okay, so he's in Montreal. He's openly trolling Habs fans. There's two things I love about this video. Like, well, actually, there's many things, but the first two things. One is that the crowd is so used to cheering for everything Bieber says that the first thing he goes, "How about those Leafs, huh?" And they're just like, "Rah! Yeah, oh no, he's what? This is a dark turn. He's about to turn on us. He's about to say something." Is the second part is how fearless he is with it. And I'm just going to say, we have had some up and down discussions about the ambassador here. What I'm going to say about Justin Bieber versus Drake. Justin Bieber, he's a one-woman guy, all right? He's in the house. He's got his partner, and that's it. He's got his Toronto Maple Leafs. That's it. Drake's out there. Golden State Warriors are good. He's getting Steph Curry tattoos, you know? He's with Kevin Durant. It's like he's with the Duke. He's with Kentucky. It's like whoever wins, I cheer for
Canada
them.
Canada soccer.
Yeah, he's just whoever's winning is with Drake right now. It's like he's basically trying to steal DJ Khaled's thing, right? Like it's the Charlie Sheen thing. Like that might as well be his catch. Winning is that's what Drake wants to be a part of. Justin Bieber, loyal to the core. Leafs, biggest losers ever. He's still right there trolling the Montreal fan base. I love you, Biebs. What an incredible performance by you. That is unbelievable to go up there and troll that crowd that way.
It is WrestleMania week.
Yeah.
I don't know if Bieber has wrestling brain, but this is like the absolute A1. If I were to list my favorite things about wrestling, it's bad guy heel trolls local sports team for cheap heat. The best one in recent memory is Kevin Owens, my lookalike, was in Seattle, and one of the lines they dropped was like,
it
was a bad, bad Sonics line. It was nuclear heat that they got. It's one of the best bits that you can do.
You crossed the line.
As a famous person, as a wrestler in particular, but I love the idea that once you're in, like, Bieber already has your money, right? You're already there to see Bieber. What are you going to do?
He's got you.
What are you going to do?
He
not
got
like
you.
Bieber? Okay, you paid $150 for that ticket, probably.
He More got than that. You. Oh, yeah. Oh, you definitely paid through the nose. The girl that shot the video is up in the rafters. She's down at least $200, at least, to get trolled by Bieber.
That I love this because it was on my A-list that we never got to finish. So welcome to the JD list.
Maybe I'm just a good teammate, like helping you get off your slump, trying to help you yesterday go like, hey, let's get back to basics. And guess what? Bing bong. You hit
Bing
your
bong.
Bet for the first time in a month
nervous.
And a half. And so we did it.
A month and a half. Okay.
I said it because you gave me an 11-game losing streak
yeah, that was
yesterday.
Bad.
Yeah, so.
We're even.
Yeah. Yes, the wake and rake is back. We're going to make some picks. Let's look at this Raptors game. This is if you're looking at most interesting Raptors games the rest of the way, this is chief among them, or at least high on the list for me anyways. The Minnesota Timberwolves are sneaky fun, sneaky decent, sneaky scary, sneaky plucky. I don't know. The Raptors kind of have a history of putting them in a body bag. That talent
yeah, you want
never...
You want to talk sneaky, though. Those Denver Nuggets and Utah Jazz, the Minnesota Timberwolves are sneaking up on getting out of the play-in, potentially.
They're nipping at your heels. Unfortunately for Minnesota, you especially need this one tonight because Denver is playing the Indiana Pacers. And if you want to ask Ailish Forfar for a scouting report on the Indiana Pacers,
Right up in their grill. They're on fire, literally.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are at tire fire.
Because, this takes us back to Justin Bieber. It was his concert that wrecked that speaker. So
yeah. That's interesting that the Raptors would throw him under the bus like that, or the MLSE pours Bieber is like, you did it, you ruined the speaker, Biebs. He'll pay the bill. He'll do anything for his MLSE teams.
Timberwolves, in addition to being sneaky, are over the last quarter of the season to date, the fourth best team in the league by net rating. Boston, Memphis, Phoenix are the only teams that have been hotter or more dominant than Minnesota, and then there's a monster gap before all the East teams that you'd expect to be in there. Minnesota was also, like, they had one lull, but they've been pretty consistently good. It's just this last month and change, they've really hit another level. Obviously, there's Anthony Edwards, there's D'Angelo Russell, there's a lot of matchup stuff here. How do you guys feel about the Raptors being 3-point favorites. So just quickly on the injury side, nothing notable for Minnesota. Ken Burch is questionable and Malachi Flynn remains out. So nothing line moving there. Raptors 3-point favorites at home.
Well, my thing is that this is why it's important to watch teams and why you do have an edge gambling-wise when you cover a team closely, because Fred's not on the injury report, but he damn well should be. Guy was limping around the court in the last game, and I am kind of curious to see how Van Vliet holds up down the stretch here. There have been moments where he's looked okay, but Blake, we discussed it last week. Him attacking the paint is no longer really a thing. He also took a really, really, really hard foul in the last game where I went, boy, I know that the injury he has is not exactly like a hip pointer or something where, but you can fall awkwardly and you can push on a weird area of your leg. It's not the strangest conclusion to draw that that might have even made something worse. It doesn't make it better necessarily. Maybe it makes it moot, but I don't know how to feel about the Fred situation. I think the Raptors are good enough and they have a version of Siakam that's good enough to get by, but this is a coin toss game, honestly. Like, this isn't one where I think that traditionally you would have looked at this line against the Minnesota Timberwolves and the way the Raptors are playing and the way that Siakam is playing and said, oh, put me down for that, please. I'd happily take that, please. Tonight is just a little different. Tonight, it's actually a bit of a stay away game for me. The only thing is Ailish, I would say that it's a little bit of an Ailish bet night where I would be looking maybe at Gary Trent Jr. stuff and the way Fred VanVleet's been hurt and hobbled, the fact that they need ball handlers and shooters, the fact that he's playing his Minnesota Timberwolves, his boyhood team, and I would say maybe this is a Gary Trent Jr. sprinkle on a prop situation. I don't know what his points are. I don't see it up yet, but if it's somewhere around like 13.5, I would play the over.
My guess would be it's higher than that when it comes out. He's averaging 18 a game.
Can Pascal have an even better night than the other night?
I figured him coming off of the injury and the fact that his minutes are a little bit up in the air, like the fact that he has – maybe that's the way Vegas looks at this. I'm thinking
– I mean, he played 37 minutes last game. I don't think they're
– But it was forced like 37 minutes because they had to put him into action because of foul trouble. He was stapled to the bench. He ended up getting how many of those minutes? 10, 11 because he was forced into action. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how much – I don't know what Gary Trent Jr. plans are, or maybe this is actually a reason to fade him, is that we believe that he is going to force it a little bit too much against his team, and then he ends up getting benched after an injury. He played too many minutes.
Yeah, they don't have the guys. They don't have enough bodies to bench guys, really, so that's the issue there. But yeah, obviously we have to wait until those lines come out to know that. Right now there are only lines for Barnes, Siakam, and Van Vliet on the Raptors side, which is sometimes that's a little red flag of why there's no good explanation for why Gary Trent wouldn't be there. So maybe there's that injury is still lingering. I mean, Nick Nurse did say last game that he was surprised Gary Trent got the thumbs up to play because it was still sore and everything like that, which is obviously not a terrific sign for him. So yeah, there are 11 NBA games tonight though. 6 NHL games. A-list, you've got your Blue Jays at +100 against the Yankees.
Taking a break off spring training, guys. I got ridiculed. Yes. You're a degenerate.
Did you? I wasn't.
I'm okay.
I wasn't on for that one.
No, just from the Simps. They were unhappy.
And the me. Simps turned on you. Right?
I was unhappy as
Fickle.
Well.
I'm
not a fan of you doing that.
JD was
I said
unhappy.
It, I think.
I mean, Ailish, if they would have won, it would have been so cool, right?
Like when Ailish made her pick, I audibly on the show said no in protest. But yes, it's okay. We're past that now. Ailish off the snide. Tampa Bay Lightning come through. I hit last night in one of the least sweaty hits in Wake and Rake history. I took the over in the Florida-Montreal game. The score, Florida hit it on their own. So thank you, Florida. I always believed in you. I'm loving NHL overs right now. Blake, close game, just miss. Sweat, unfortunate, whatever. Well, let's move on.
A few of those for me lately.
On to Wednesday. So, Blake, do you want to start or do you want to wait?
I say Ailish got off the thing going first yesterday, so let's let her stay hot. We'll prioritize that over shaking it off.
There's a few NHL games I like tonight, including See, I get nervous. Now put my. I'll give you the three that I like. I like Jets.
No. Just give us the one. You're no. Okay. Oh my God. We're back to this. No. We just.
No, but
got
I'm not going to ask
zone.
You for your opinion. Yeah. I'm just going to say a couple that I like. I like the Jets tonight. I like the Golden Knights tonight, and I like the Rangers tonight. I think are the Rangers coming off a back to back?
Oh, yeah, we just lost the Waken Ring.
Yes. So I don't want to give them another chance because they ruined us last night. The Jets will play the Leafs tomorrow, so I feel like there's a little bit of incentive to get a big win tonight against the Sabres because they're going to play a tougher opponent tomorrow. But the Sabres have been a little spicy hot. And then there's the Golden Knights over the Kraken, which I feel like is almost a lock. So I'm going to go with the Golden Knights over the Kraken, just money line, minus 170. It's a little bit heavier, but I'm going to do it because I just need to continue my winning streak. But I will say those other ones intrigue me.
Streak.
But one's a streak.
I don't think it is.
Streak of one.
I don't know if there's a streak of one. Blake, streak of one, analytics on streak of one.
I'm of the mind that you got to get the three before it's a streak.
I would say
this is how you get a win. This is how you get.
It's win, and then it's back-to-back, and then it's a streak.
Well, as the Ailish, your pick is officially that you are locking in this
Golden
bank.
Knights money line.
Okay, Las Vegas Golden Knights on the money line. What does that pay? I have that in
minus the 170.
Minus 170. Okay, we've got minus 170 Golden. I just want to make sure that it was because I had it in front of me of what the regulation win was. Okay, so as the actual only resident who is on a streak, I have been playing NHL over-unders. Mm-hmm. I am going to go against that grain tonight. I'm just going to take the Edmonton Oilers in regulation. They're going to beat the Los Angeles Kings. The Oilers look great right now, and I think that they're going to stack numbers on numbers. And so Oilers beat the Sharks 5-2. I kind of see a similar score tonight with a Los Angeles Kings team that just lost to the Kraken, Ailish, 6-1. It's not an impressive Kings team. I'm going to go with the Oilers. I like the Oilers. I'm going to bet them tonight. Oilers in regulation, minus 119.
That's
nice.
Good.
So my question for you guys on the hockey side, I'm not going with a hockey pick, but so the Jets, you mentioned they're on the first night of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. And Ailish, you said maybe you want to get the big win tonight, but we don't have goalies. Goalies confirmed tonight. Do you go with Comrie tonight so that Hellebuck's ready for the Leafs?
Comrie.
Yeah. Hey, 920 save percentage.
Yeah.
Can you get that
out
of your backup? Your nobody backup goalie?
Yeah, that's tough. That's one of the reasons that's one of the reasons I didn't really know about tonight with that game, just because I wish I knew the starting goalies. Do you save it or do you go for the big win just to, you know, to secure one? It's tough. I think that you kind of wait that one out.
Yeah, because that one becomes JD, to your over-under streak, that one becomes an interesting one if, you know, I know Comrie has a strong save percentage, but...
How many over-unders have I played in a row that have won? Has it been three?
Three of your last four. The other one mixed in, there was the Providence one that also won, but it wasn't an over-under.
But have the last three in a row been all totals?
Yes, that's what I was saying. Is you've won four in a row, and three of those have been totals.
Kind of think I need to switch off of the Oilers.
You can't.
Oh,
you
I can't.
You've made your pick, JD.
First of all, when I did make my pick last time, and I switched it, I won. Which means that regression and coin toss is probably the means I'm going to lose. But I will say that it does compel me to feel like I'm going to take an overs pick and keep the over streak alive and always try to find the over. But let me think on it. Let me think on flipping the pick. I felt very good about the Oilers today. But Blake, you're going NBA tonight.
I am. I'm going to keep it simple. It's a team we just saw. It's a team that has been maybe the hottest team in basketball. At minus 180, I'm going the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. I think that line's going to move. It's at -4 right now and minus 180. I'm taking the money line because I need a win in the Waken Rake, but I think that line's going to move. It seems short. Miami's a disaster right now. Yes, Boston is without Robert Williams for 4 to 6 weeks, but Tatum, Brown, and Horford are all back in this one. None of them are expected to miss this game. It was just a rest thing against Toronto. We saw how strong their depth is in that game against the Raptors. Duncan Robinson's questionable for Miami, and even if he plays, Boston's a really hard matchup for him because to get his offense on the floor, you have to let one of Tatum or Brown go to work on him. Mm-hmm. So I like the Celtics tonight to beat the Heat. The Heat are in a bad way. I'll kick myself if this one loses because it's like, oh yeah, there's Heat regression coming or whatever. They'll bounce back. They have looked like it's not just, oh, they've lost some games in a row. They are fighting on the bench. They look like a disaster lately. I don't know what the heck's going on there. This is also a huge game for the Celtics because the Celtics want the one seed. The Celtics, there's, you know, all that speculation the other day if they don't want the Raptors in the playoffs because maybe their team's not fully vaccinated. I don't have any. Jason Tatum has said he's vaccinated. Al Horford was away from the team for other reasons. I believe it was his sister's wedding. But yeah, the Celtics want that one seed. And the only teams the Heat have beat this month are Sacramento, the Thunder, and the Pistons. That's it. For their last, like, eight games, that's who they've beaten. Not the whole month, but the last eight games, that's who they've beaten. Not great. They've lost every good team they've played, so Celtics money line.
I am switching it up and going with an over. I am taking the over in the Rangers-Detroit Red Wings game. I do not trust either of these teams. I know it's not Shesterkin in net tonight. They're going to go to the Bulgarian legend, Gorgiev, on the back-to-back. I just think both these teams can fill it up on a good night. I don't trust either goaltender tonight. I don't trust either blue line tonight. I think it's going to be a lazy game. I think it's going to be one where you're going to be close, but a bunch of goals. I'm going to take the over 5.5 in the Red Wings.
And I see it at 6.5.
I do not. I have it at 5.5 right here at -150.
Oh, I have 6.5 at +100. Which is
bad book. Over 5.5 in the game, -150. Let's roll it. Let's keep the streak going.
Let's do it. So again, to review,
Blake, yours is -200. Is that acceptable? Right on.
It's not where I'm looking at it. It's -180 where I am. But if you want to get
over the place,
yeah, we are all over the place. But whatever.
I do not have the Boston Celtics at -200, but we can roll it.
I have them at -180.
Okay.
You have it at longer than -200?
-205.
I have it at -200. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go Celtics -4 then. We'll.
I like money line. You have it at 180.
Okay. I thought the line was gonna move because it's short. Yeah. But yeah, Celtics money line, Vegas Golden Knights money line, New York Rangers, Detroit Red Wings over 5.5.
Correct.
So a little. We're all on the lower value end, but hey. That's how you build a parlay. You look for the...
Need a parlay win tonight. Need the parlay win. Enough of the individual hits. We need a parlay win. We need all three.
Yeah,
I want to see bet slips. I want to hit.
Oh, what it's do you mean?
It's a team exercise.
That I got out of the mud, but obviously I'd be happier if we all hit. So no problem, guys.